chapter 17, 2 Kings 17. And I already shared my introduction to this message, A Tale of Two Cities, about how we face battles every day. And as we face battles, the greatest place to face those battles is not with words and making sure that everyone knows that you are right in your position. Fighting those battles is not done with an angry stare or with a clenched fist or with a sword. The best place to fight those battles is on your knees. And I know that there are some times that we need to act and we need to do things and say things for what is right. And that is very, very, very important. But you need to make sure that the Lord is at the center of it. With anything that you do in life, you need to make sure that the Lord is on your side or what you're doing is in vain. And so we're talking about the Samaritans and the Jews. And I thought to myself, we talk a lot about Samaritans. And as you look at the Gospel of John, there's a number of times where the idea of Samaritans comes up. And Samaritans, who are the Samaritans? One of the things we're going to look at is when they even said to Jesus, they called him, they said, "You're a filthy Samaritan." That's what it says. They call him, and I always thought to myself, Jesus wasn't a Samaritan, but they're calling him Samaritan. Well, because, as we're going to see, Jesus wasn't afraid to associate with Samaritans. And so I've always wanted to say, like, what is the difference between Samaria and Judea? And so last week we looked at where the split took place. When Jeroboam and Rehoboam had this conflict, and Jeroboam said, "I'm taking 10 tribes and we're out of here." And Rehoboam set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and Jeroboam had his kingdom in the north with Samaria becoming the capital. And last week we looked at the great sin of Jeroboam when he set up those two altars with the golden calves in Dan and Bethel and said, "I don't want people going to Jerusalem. I don't want people going there," because he was afraid that they would have a desire to go back under the rule of Rehoboam. And so he set up those places. And for the rest of the books of Kings and the Chronicles, you see, he did what was wrong and followed after the sin of his father, Jeroboam. So I wanted you to understand that what you're reading, as you're reading through that, and you see this guy sinned like Jeroboam. What does that mean? Well, it means they're following false gods. They're trying to keep people away from the house of the Lord. Today, I think the devil is trying to keep people out of the house of the Lord. And I'm so glad that you guys are here and we're able to come. And as we get to the passage today, I've thought about this. You see up there, A Tale of Two Cities, and I find this story in 2 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19. I find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. It's in three different places. And it's not like in every single one of those places this story is told and it's like five or six verses. It takes up multiple chapters in all those places. And I look at that and I say, the story of Jesus Christ being born is in the Bible twice. It's got like all these holidays after it. And that's important. It's a big deal. Don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm just saying if you compare the time that's spent on this particular story in the scripture, it's given about as much attention, the narrative part of it, as the birth of Jesus Christ. And I think that's significant. We all know the story of David and Goliath. But if you were to compare the amount of time the Bible spends on David and Goliath to the story we're about to tell you today, it spends a whole lot more time talking about this story. And in this particular story here, we have these two cities. And the first one I'd like to talk about is Samaria. Up in the north, where the 10 tribes were, where Jeroboam was ruling, he decided that his capital city would be Samaria. And there are some good times up in Samaria, but not too often, because so many of those kings followed after the sin of Jeroboam. And that was not a good thing. And so that nation was given a charge right at the beginning of it. We saw it last week. Jeroboam, if you act like King David, I will establish your kingdom forever, and I will bless you. But Jeroboam said, no, that's not what I want to do. I know, God, you've given me the opportunity, but I am going to do the opposite of that. I'm going to try and draw people away from God. And I ask you about the acquaintances that you have in your life. Are they pulling, I heard someone say this week, are they pulling you in the right direction? And I thought about that. And I thought, the people that we are associating with, that we're spending time with them, are they drawing us closer to God? Or are they pulling us away from God? And I know that we need to be out in the world and we need to be a witness and a testimony. But when we come home and we share our time and our concerns and our burdens, do we have people who are drawing us closer to God? Well, the children of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, they followed the sin of Jeroboam and they let that pull them away from God. And let's read these verses in 2 Kings chapter 17. Verses 13 to 18. It says there, yet the Lord testified against Israel, against Judah, by all his prophets, every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffen their necks, like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves molten image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and sleuthsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. As I look at this passage of Scripture, one of the things I like to do is, I know, I have no problem with someone reading from the Bible on a tablet or on their phone or something. You know, the best Bible to have is a Bible that you read. That's the big important thing, is that you're reading it. If it just sits on the shelf and you never open it, that's a problem. But I like my personal Bible that I have my pages with, and if I were sitting down and talking to someone and sharing the Word of God with them, I'd want this book in front of me. I know I could use my phone or my tablet or my computer or whatever, but I like to have the pages in front of me. If you do differently, that's okay. But I'm just telling you because what I like to do is I like to highlight things and I like to write notes, and it helps me find things and it helps me be accustomed to my own personal Bible. In my Bible, I have verse 13. I have it highlighted in yellow. That means it's a good thing. Because God comes in verse 13 And he asks these people, he says, turn from your evil ways, keep my commandments and my statutes according to the law which I command your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. So God says here, right in this passage, I'm giving you a chance. Come, follow after me. I'm begging you. Please, come. And then verses 14 to 18 are highlighted in blue. And that's not a good thing. And as I read those passages of Scripture, it's not good. They followed after the sin of Jeroboam. They stiffened their necks. They made wooden idols, and they practiced witchcraft. And they were being pulled away from God. And they turned from God. And so what happens is Assyria, the most wicked, awful nation that you could imagine, comes to town and bangs on the door of Samaria. And they overtake it and they wipe it out. They trample on the gods of the Samaritans. They trample the walls. They destroy that city. And it is crushed under the feet of the Assyrian army. Let's read in verse 24. In verse 24, it says, then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. And so Assyria comes and they wipe out, and the king of Assyria comes in and he brings in people from all over the place, and they assimilate into the city. They mix the families. They bring in people from all these cultures. And so by the time we get to the time of Jesus Christ, when they say Samaritan, they're thinking they're not pure Jewish people. Because people from all over have been brought in to live in the land. And there's something interesting that I see in the fall of the city of Samaria. Assyria has more respect for Yahweh than Israel does. Let's look in verses 25 and 26. It says, and so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there, that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore, he has sent lions among them, and indeed they are killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. And so these people, when they see that God sends in, they see that Assyria has taken over, and God sends in lions to mix it up and to show that he's not pleased with what's going on, these people go, whoa. The God of this land, we need to respect him and show him dignity because he doesn't mess around. And I find it very interesting that when God asks his own people, he says, will you turn your hearts to me and be fully committed to me? They say no, and they do all this stuff. They cause their children to pass before the fire. They worship Baal and the gods of heaven. God says, I'm done. I'm going to let the Assyrians take over. And when all the people from all the nations, they recognize that God was up to something. And that God, it's really interesting. And sometimes I wonder about that. Because we as Christians, we get complacent in our relationship with God. And maybe we don't take what he says seriously. And then an unsaved person will come into maybe church, or they'll talk to their minister or somebody, and they'll go, even though they're not saved, they'll go, oh boy, how should I act? I'm in God's house. How should I act? What should I change the way? And they know that there's something special about God's house. So they know that that if they're talking to God, they need to act with dignity and respect. Maybe something that we've lost, but that's Samaria, in the fall of Samaria. God gave them the opportunity, and they squandered it. And he brought in the Assyrians to wreck the city. But this is a tale of two cities, and the second city is Jerusalem. And if the people of Samaria were acting like Jeroboam, they were following in the sin of Jeroboam, and we see a contrast in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 to 7. We see that Hezekiah is like David. And in 2 Kings chapter 18, and verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor who were ever before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered him wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him." Hezekiah was like David, and that's a good, good positive thing. And so just like in Samaria, the same thing happens to Jerusalem as happens to Samaria. The Assyrians come and surround the city. And Sennacherib the king, and he has this guy that he always brings with him that he sends to the wall of the people to tell them what's going to happen to them. Rabshakeh, they come to the city and they're ready to conquer it. And the question is asked of Jerusalem: in what do you trust, Jerusalem? In verse 19, it says, of that same chapter, it says, "Then Rabshakeh said to them, 'Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust?'" So the question is asked there: Jerusalem, who is your trust in? That's what Sennacherib's message was to the people of that city. Who do you trust in? And yesterday, we had a couple come that worked with us at camp. He was a counselor that worked there, and he came over, and he was kind of sitting, and we were chatting, and I was just remembering a lot of the stuff that. And I'm so glad that there are some young couples out there that I had a chance to just plant a seed in their life and to watch them as they grew. And that's special. And I'm seeing these people, these young couples that are facing troubles and trials in their life, and they're trusting in the Lord. There was, and I always told those guys up there, I said, there's a verse that I want hung on my door in my house, and it's, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength." I said, I want that on the door of my house. And there was one guy at the camp, and he gave me a gift one day. It was a cross. And on that cross, he got this cross special for me. And he said, "Scott, I think you're always talking about that verse that you want hung in your house." And he said, "Is this it?" And it says on there, "But as for me," from the book of Joshua, "but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He gave that to me. And that's been something that's been special for me. And so that's right next to that verse in my life. That's right next to that verse: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and all thy strength." Right next to it, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Sennacherib comes and he says, what are you guys going to trust in? Who are you going to trust in? And he goes on to say, don't let Hezekiah deceive you into trusting in God. Don't let him trust you into deceiving you and having you trust in God. Let's read those verses 29 and 30. It says there, thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. He says, don't listen to Hezekiah. He's going to tell you, trust in God, and don't listen to that. And there's people out there today who will say, don't let that pastor tell you, don't let the people at that church tell you that you could trust in God. Because guess what? At the end of the day, we all got problems. Hezekiah goes on to keep saying, where are all the other gods of all the other nations? In verse 33, it says, has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath, of Arpad? Where are the gods of Seraphim, and Henna, and Eva? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the land have delivered the countries from my hand? The Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand. He says, all the other gods, they couldn't do it. What makes you think that your God is any different? That's why in verse up there I put, don't let him deceive you into trusting in Yahweh. Because when I say, I trust in God, I mean the God of this book. And I mean Jesus Christ. That's the God I trust in. That's my Savior. So what's Hezekiah's reaction? In verse 1, it says that he tore his clothes and went to his house. When problems come in your life, where do you go? Do you immediately think of, I've got problems in my life, I need to go to God's house? Or do you try to handle it on your own? When you're facing difficult situations, do you go to your Christian brothers and sisters and say, hey, I've got a problem, can we pray about this? That's the best advice that I can give you, is the first thing, that when you have troubles, that when you have trials. And I know as Americans, we're supposed to be tough and we're supposed to be able to handle things on our own. But that's not what I find in the Word of God. I find that when we have problems, we go to the Lord. When we have problems, we go to Christian brothers and sisters. And we go to the Lord in prayer. And that's how we get through these things. And we need to act like Hezekiah. Because Hezekiah prayed. And I said just a moment ago, one of my favorite prayers in all the Bible comes from 2 Kings chapter 19. Verses 15 to 19, it says, then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God alone, you of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which we have sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to the nations of the lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands and wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Hezekiah prayed. And guess what God did? God answered. In 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 34, it says, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. I love it when Christian athletes speak out for their faith. I really, really get excited about that. Now that's really a big statement. Because then they have to back it up with their life. But and it's going out on a limb, but I get excited when I hear one of them say that. But one thing I don't like is I've seen this verse used for people when they get ready to play a football game. And they're saying, we got a home game and we need to win that game. I will defend this city. That verse isn't talking about a basketball game or a football game. It's talking about Jerusalem. And if you want to apply it in your life, if you want to use that someplace in your life, use it in your church. You know, God will defend this church if we are faithful to Him. Use it in your home. If we are faithful to God, if we trust in Him, even if the enemy's coming down around us, we let God defend our home. We let Him defend our city from real problems. That's why I like that they like to use a Bible verse in a basketball game or football game. But I'm like, this isn't talking about the visitors from across town at the other high school. This is talking about in Jerusalem when the Assyrians were coming in to destroy and say, we're going to wipe you out just like all the other gods. This is your home when the devil's attacking it. And you need to be a home that's built on Jesus Christ. And God delivered. We read it this morning. The angel of the Lord came and 185,000 Assyrians died. Sennacherib perished. God showed up. Men's Sunday school class, we talked about that this morning. A theophany. When God shows up. And that night after Hezekiah prayed, God answered and He delivered in a great and absolutely mighty way. God showed up. We saw two cities. One of them ran away from God. The other one ran to God. One of them trusted in their golden calves, Samaria. One of them, their king Hezekiah, got on his knees and prayed. One of them got the Assyrians came in and wiped them out. The other one, God defended the city. That night, 185,000 people died. But my question for you today is, which city will your home be? I've got two cities up there. First one's Samaria. That's an actual picture of Samaria. And look at it. You don't trust the Lord. You don't follow Him. It can be a ruin. It can be destruction. The other one is not the actual picture of ancient Jerusalem. But God defended that city. That's an artist's rendition of that city. And we know that the city of Jerusalem stands today and it's getting prepared. It's getting ready. Because soon and very soon, King Jesus is going to be reigning in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem stands. And Jerusalem stood. It's been through a lot of problems, but that's still God's city. How about your home? You got a tale of two cities today. Do you want to be like Assyria and follow after the gods of the other place? Or do you want to be Jerusalem? And when problems come, you're like Hezekiah. You go to God's house. You pray. You let God defend that city. You beg of God like Hezekiah. Listen, God, with your ear. Look down and see what's going on. We trust and we follow after you. Which city do you want to be? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for this story found in the Bible and 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Isaiah, about how you took a humble king who in meekness stood up to an empire that was wreaking havoc across the land. And he prayed, and you, God, you defended that city from a wicked man who would defy God. And today, Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to stay true and faithful to you, our Heavenly Father. We thank you and praise you for what you are doing. And I pray that you'll help us to be a Jerusalem and to stand true behind our Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our